Hey everybody, so today is the day. Finally it has come where we are announcing the winner of the King of Bing Maps contest. We've talked about it before in a previous entry, and I've even talked about some of the individual entrants on Ping because some of them sort of struck my fancy. You've got a lot of good competition out there. But today, Chris Pendleton, of course, is with us, and we're going to announce the winners and show you the actual applications. But before we get to that, you know, Chris always likes to dangle that carrot and do a tease. There's a little bit of information that is actually really, really important that we need to get out there first. Sort of a whole new landscape, if you will, in Bing Maps.
The canvas has changed.
The canvas has changed. And the painters are still the same.
The painters remain the same, but their data, their art looks so much better on Bing Maps now.
Tell me why.
Okay, so you know, a couple weeks ago I posted about our new map style.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this new map style that it really cools down what is considered, you know, background noise for a lot of, you know, data-based applications. So when we start looking at mapping data, like, you know, we've got cartographers on staff, we've got a design team on staff, and they really looked at the maps that we have today that basically said, you know, these are kind of cluttered, we've got a lot of noise going on, and when we start adding more data on top of the maps, there's just a lot going on. So what we did was we adopted a new map style.
Okay.
And
now, is this a new map style for in the back end, or will consumers in the front end see this difference as well?
No, this is all on the front end. This is out on Bing Maps.
Okay.
It's not on the platform yet. So, but we actually did have an enterprise customer go live with the map, so they hacked the URL and put it together, and boom, now they have it in their application too. So,
hackers.
Yeah, I mean, and the benefits of this new map style. I mean, it really is like a cool, crisp map style. The fonts are totally different.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some significant changes in the Silverlight version as well. So you'll see it on both the Ajax and the Silverlight versions of Bing Maps. Okay.
Okay.
On the Silverlight experience, we introduced this concept of a dynamic label. So we've got, you know, Bing Maps is a rasterized map tile. We take all this cartographic data and press these maps together. So taking all these GIS data layers and just smushing it into a single image, right? Rasterized.
Yeah.
Well, now we've kind of introduced a vector concept where we've got a multiple layers.
Okay.
So we've got this raster layer, but now for certain neighborhoods, they'll actually render dynamically. So I can show you, let me give you an example of this.
Okay.
So as we delve down into Seattle, you'll see that we've got like Pioneer Square, the International District, Belltown. These are neighborhoods throughout Seattle that are rendering dynamically as drawings. So instead of, you know, this rasterized layer in the background, which is all pre-processed images, which is fetching tiles on the fly, now we've actually got this concept of a dynamic label, and that empowers us to do a lot of things, right? This is just the beginning. So as we start to peel back these different GIS layers, right, which typically we wouldn't do because of the performance problems that you would deal with, like sending down massive amounts of binaries down to the client. Well, what we've done is we've found a good way to streamline all that information. And we're using these new fonts. They may look a little familiar to you. I don't know if you recognize them from Windows Phone 7, maybe. I don't
know. Sure.
Yeah, they look a little familiar, right? But the labels for the actual neighborhoods are now being drawn on the fly. So this is great because it allows further interactivity right on the maps, right? So we've got this cool, crisp, purplish kind of lavender type of feel to the maps, but what it really draws out is when you start adding data layers on top of the map, right? Because now your data is popping, right? And we've gotten some mixed feedback about, you know, how they feel, like cartographers are just like, oh, I can't see roads. Well, if you're overlaying data, you don't really care a whole lot about the actual roads because you care about the data on top. The location information is just additional context. So this cartography in the background plays contextual into the applications, but we're really focused on the data. So when you start loading these Bing Map apps, for example, like the Twitter app and the Foursquare app and some of the apps that we're going to talk about today, the data is what's most important. That's what you really want, but you still want some location context. So that's why we've kind of faded the canvas.
I see that.
A little to the back, and we've made it very, very cool.
Got you. But let's move on. Let's move on to the reason we're here, to announce...
Okay.
The winner! and 7 finalists to the King of Bing map competition. We had a competition. Let's briefly remind them what this was.
Right. So the impetus for the King of Bing maps competition was around the introduction of our Bing map apps SDK.
Yes.
And what that provides is extensibility for our Bing maps website. So for all of these developers who've been building mashups using the Bing maps platform, that's been great. We'll continue to support that. All of that's good to go. But let's say you want data that you host to be on Bing Maps. Well, how do you do that? You do it through this extensible API that allows you to basically render your data on Bing Maps.
Great.
And we do it through what we call our Bing Map app. So there's an application gallery. Users go in, they select the app they want, and it renders a data layer of your choosing right on Bing Maps. And you can have multiple data layers running at once. So if you want to see, you know, Twitter feeds with Foursquare chickens and, you know, all these different data layers that we have, boom, right in the Bing Map apps.
Great. And so this contest is now closed, obviously, since we've determined the winner. All right, well, then let's get. We've got seven apps to talk about.
Yes.
And we're going to do sort of the four runners-ups.
Yes.
And then the three winners of the glory. Let's go in your order of your preference.
Absolutely. So we'll start with the World of Football.
Okay, I love football.
World of Football.
Sorry.
I know. She's very American, everybody. We're talking about the World Football. Football.
Got you.
Yeah, so soccer scores from around the world in
World
real time, Cup. Coming in, focusing on stadiums, being able to view the stadiums, and what better way to view a stadium than in bird's eye?
Correct.
Right? 360 degrees, information, so soccer.
Now, does it give scores? Is that what it?
Scores, yeah.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
So probably very handy. The World Cup is over, but for the next World Cup. All of those, I saw World Cup applications on the
yeah, there was
various
World Cup
devices.
Apps. This is for the leagues that are going on right now.
Perfect.
Continuously updating.
Love it. Okay.
Random location.
That's the app.
I just want to randomly send me somewhere in the world. You know, how about I just want to throw a dart at the map and go there. You ever played that game?
No.
Yeah.
But I saw it on that movie Coming to America once, and
exactly.
Then they spun the globe, and like, oh, we go to Queens!
We go to Queens!
We find the
exactly.
Queen! No.
Exactly. That's it!
So this application, it randomly picks a location on the map?
Randomly picks a lat long, and it zooms in on that place. That's it.
All right.
Pretty simple app.
Okay, good
right?
way to learn.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the idea, right? We're just touching the water, we want to introduce some different kinds of apps, some are more complex, some are not.
I like it.
Up.
I like
okay.
it. I could spend hours on that, don't get me wrong.
Exactly.
Next.
So the ApoAT is interesting. So
ApoAT.
ApoAT.
Gotcha.
Which is basically pharmacies in Austria.
Okay.
Why is that important? We don't have data for Austria. How about that? We don't have pharmacy data in Austria. We need the ability to search. So this is kind of the first step at improving Bing search capabilities because we don't necessarily have a whole lot of data, if any, about points of interest in Austria.
Clearly the pharmacy point of interest.
It's important. You gotta get it.
There's sick people everywhere. Okay.
Okay.
And so it sort of tells you where they are and
just points
it
out.
Oh, it's got a photograph of the pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I picked one. The Festival de Théâtre en France.
Uh-huh.
Basically theaters in France, you know, where there's different shows playing and whatnot during the festival.
Great.
So there's all kinds of exciting things. Basically a point of interest listing of the theaters around France. And what's interesting about these types of apps is, you know, it's very simple to build these types of apps, right? We can just wrap up a KML layer on the keyhole markup language and, you know, submit it, and that's your app, right? So some of these are very static in that it's just a set of points that we get from, you know, exporting to KML, and we just render them on Bing Maps. So there are very simple ways to build map apps. These don't have to be super complex.
All right, so those are four really cool apps, and now we're gonna talk about the, are they in order, 3, 2, 1?
We'll do a 3, 2, 1.
We'll do a little countdown,
that's right.
Okay, so it would be first runner-up. Right? Or second runner-up?
Second runner-up. That's right. So
from my beauty queen days. It's all coming back to me now.
Yep,
Second runner-up.
Second runner-up is Ricky Brundrett from Infusion Development.
Okay.
He built a spatial data viewer, which is, you know, for a GIS person, fabulous, right? Anytime you want to render what we call shapefiles, you got to bust out, you know, Esri software, which is, you know, upwards of $12,000 per head kind of thing. It's a little expensive. So now, if you just want a quick view, I just want to see, you know, shape layers from a GIS system, I can go right into this application, pull them out, and just render them right onto Bing Maps. Super simple to do. So all I'm going to do, I can go right in here. I can get my downloads. Actually, Zillow has a great set of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So basically, neighborhood boundaries are free for download. So I'm going to go in. I select my shapefile. If you have an attributes file, DBF file, from the Esri formats, you can select that as well. And we'll just do this. And then we'll just display. So just by pulling shapefiles and DBF files right off your laptop,
what did it do here?
It rendered GIS data right on Bing Maps just by selecting a shapefile that isn't natively supported by the Bing Maps platform.
Okay, and where are you? You're in East Providence?
We're in Rhode Island.
You're in Rhode Island. And what do these shapes each represent? Are those...
These are counties, I believe.
Counties, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So this is just data that I got from Zillow. Download it onto my hard drive, it takes a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Upload it to Bing Maps. Boom, I can view all these different boundaries within
the state
of Rhode Island. Yeah.
That's cool. I like it.
Super simple.
Okay.
So, third place.
Third place. A worthy component.
There you go.
Opponent. Okay.
Okay. So, next, we have Avalara. And Avalara...
I have Avalara, too. No?
Okay. I have Avalara. That's my line.
Avalara.
So they built the geo sales tax. So if you want to see the different sales tax.
Oh, I love this.
Around
shoppers.
The U.S., yep, all you shoppers out there.
Head to Oregon.
No sales tax. Zero.
Zero.
It's a great place to shop. So what we're going to do, we'll just shade on the map all of the different states and their different rates in terms of tax codes. But we can put in, something like 90.
Apparently, Montana has no sales tax. Is that why it's...
How about that?
I didn't know that.
Learning. It's a little further to drive.
A little further from here.
But now we can get down into, the zip code level and really break down the different tax rates from around the U.S.
Wow.
Super cool.
I did not know that. Just taxes... why would they be different colors? Isn't it a statewide sales tax?
No. There's also county-level tax, city-level tax. Oh, yeah.
Ah, okay. And this is just sales tax, right?
Just sales tax.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And so I'm assuming the darker part in the center would be higher since that's the city.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I love that. And so, cool. And that's for all of the United States?
That's the United States. That's right.
That's cool.
Where they have sales tax.
That's cool. I really like that one.
Wow. Yeah,
Avalara. Number two. And now, drum roll.
So for the king of Bing Maps.
Yes.
We have to give it up for our boy.
My homie.
Ricky Time. Ricky Brundrit. He takes third and first with his taxi cab fare application.
I love this one. I talked about it on Ping, so you all are probably already familiar with it. But break it down.
Yeah, the cab fare application is interesting because it gives you directions from point A to point B, but it also dynamically hits a data source that calculates the fare for you or as an estimate, right?
Yeah.
So we take the route and calculate the distance between point A and point B. We do a route calculation.
Yeah.
And then he's hitting this dynamic data source that calculates an estimate of what the fare will be if you ride in a cab. And it's different per city. So we've got, a pretty interesting application that will basically give you about what you're going to spend if you take a cab from where you are to where you want to go.
Which is great, because like I said, being from New York City, constantly being ripped off by cabbies. Not me, because I'm a local, but frequently when I had guests there. And you mentioned it actually does adjust for the city what the cab is, because some cities you walk in and it's already $4, and some cities you walk in, you step in the cab, and it's only $1.50, and different charges and increments per mile that it charges, and this calculates all that data for you.
That is correct.
Love it.
So we'll go ahead and put in, let's do some zip codes here.
Okay, let's go from my house.
Let's put your home address in here.
Yeah, let's put my home address. I'm just gonna give you a zip code. It's a large shape overlay on the map of all of Sammamish.
Yeah. Okay, let's do 98072.
Okay, where's that?
Woodinville. 98052. I don't know who lives in Woodinville, but...
So, if someone had to take a cab from Woodinville to the office, and their office happened to be right here, how much would they be paying? Apparently, it's a $60 cab ride.
From Woodinville to Seattle.
From Woodinville, to downtown Seattle. Okay. So that looks probably about half to get to work.
Yeah. We can change it. We can do, Woodinville to Redmond.
And that's really accurate because I live not far from Woodinville, and when I take a cab in, it's just about $60 as well.
And you know what? They hit that bridge, and boom, they go, and I think the rates go up as the
that's
faster
great.
They
and
go.
That's great. And so, Ricky Time, you are the winner.
You are the king.
The king of Bing Maps Apps Contest. So there you go. Congratulations, Ricky. We love your taxi Fair calculator application, and this is live on Bing Maps now, right? Available for the world to use.
World to see.
So there you go, helping people not get ripped off across the globe. And before we go, before we sign off on the King of Bing Maps Apps Contest, which we will be sending you this lovely prize, we will, we need to thank our judges who made this all possible. Chris?
That's right. I want to thank Josh Lowenson from CNET, Greg Sterling from Search Engine Land, and Joe Francica from Directions Magazine. Guys are a huge help. Really appreciate that. Thanks for the judging opportunity.
Thank you, and I'm sure Ricky would thank you as well. And thanks to everybody who entered. And that's a wrap.